Well, good morning again, and welcome to worship. If I catch you eyeing the beautiful baby, I will not be mad. You know, when I was growing up, I honestly believe that my dad was one of the strongest and smartest men in the world. And as I grew up, I came to find out it was true, as he proved it to me over and over. My dad was a man who worked very hard, and he built a business with just $20 and a dream. And for 28 years, I shared that dream with him. He installed nearly every machine in the business, and he taught me a lot about fixing those machines. And I remember more than once, I would be trying to get a machine back together and get it running, because every minute it's down, it's not making money. And I would run into a part of it that I just couldn't get it figured out. I would fight it, and I would fight it, and I would try this, and I would try that, and still the machine would not run. And sometimes, to be honest, my frustration level would build up. And then my dad would arrive on the scene and start looking over my shoulder. That did not help my frustration level at all. Then after watching me for a while and scratching his chin, he would reach in and make some little adjustment, and suddenly the machine would run. I don't know how he did it, but he would walk away with this big smug look on his face and just pat himself on the back, let me know that he fixed it and not me. And it wasn't just at work that Dad was always right. So many times in life, Dad was right. Sometimes Dad would say, "You're wasting your time, Scott, it'll never work." And guess what? More often than not, Dad was right. Sometimes he would tell me to take a different approach to a problem, and more often than not, Dad was right. And sometimes Dad would say, "Stay the course. You are doing it right. It will be okay in the end." And more often than not, Dad was right. And it didn't matter if it was about a machine or about life in general. I had to remind myself that even though I didn't like to admit it, I needed to listen to him because he was usually right. Things are that way with God. How often do we try to do things ourselves without God? How many times has God tried to direct us or tell us we are wrong, but we simply do not listen? There are a lot of ways that God can speak to us. And sometimes we are like teenagers who hear but choose to ignore. Sometimes we hear, but we just make a whole bunch of excuses. And sometimes we don't hear because we don't want to hear. So in reality, how often do we hear God? And how often do we act obediently? Well, we've been covering a whole lot of stories that are after the resurrection, after Easter. And Jesus makes several different appearances to his disciples. And in one of his previous appearances, he tells the disciples to leave Jerusalem, to go on to Galilee, where he will meet them there. So they go to Galilee and wait for Jesus. And our scriptures tells us this. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. Now, we should remember that many, if not most of these guys, were professional fishermen. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were no doubt experienced fishermen. Good fishermen understand the tides and the currents. They know the seasons. They know the migration pattern of their fish. They understand how things like the weather, the phases of the moon, the time of the day, all affect the movement of the fish. This wasn't a hobby for these guys. They didn't go down to Bass Pro on a whim to buy a pole and a fishing license. This was how they made their living for many years. In fact, we see them in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus being who they were, fishermen. From Luke 5, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And verse 4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Now here it is interesting that both at the beginning of the mission of Jesus and after the resurrection, we find fully capable and professional fishermen out on the water, and both times they fish all night and catch nothing. Luke 5, Simon said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. And John chapter 21:3, it says, so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Do you ever feel in life that you're coming up empty? Maybe your career isn't what you wanted it to be. Maybe your relationships are not what you want them to be. Maybe you've had a period of drought in your life when you feel empty, alone, or just spinning your wheels. Think about moments of those times in your life, and how would you react if somebody you didn't know came up to you and told you to change course? We don't usually accept advice from strangers, do we? For one, they don't know our situation. Secondly, what makes somebody that doesn't even know you an expert on your life? And here in both stories, we find them listening to someone they don't know or don't recognize. Looking back at Luke, when we see Peter's introduction to Jesus, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Simon, at this point, was not a disciple. Remember, it was later he became a disciple, and Jesus changed his name to Peter. And in John 21, we see that verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. So in both cases, Jesus at the moment is an unknown person with unknown capabilities. Yet in both cases, we find these men say, okay. In Luke 5, it says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And then in our story in John 21, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And the scripture says they did. Now, why they would do this, why they would react to a stranger, we don't know. Certainly, Jesus had a certain charisma. Certainly, they knew that he was a powerful teacher. But they didn't know for sure who he was at this time. And in both cases, we find tremendous results. If we go back to the time before they knew who Jesus was in Luke 5, it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And in John 21, when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This lesson seems so simple. Jesus says, go and cast your nets where I tell you to, and guess what? They catch a lot of fish. But we don't always follow and do the things that Jesus says. And a lot of us are like the disciples who at first had a lot of excuses and arguments. Right? In the first case, the disciples said, hey, we've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. I mean, could you imagine being a professional fisherman doing this day in and day out and somebody tells you after catching nothing to go out? I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, hey, wait a minute. We're the ones with the boats and the nets. It's kind of our trade, right? If there's nothing, there's nothing. I'm not doing it again. And it would have been easy to stop there. And you know, today we have lots of excuses for not listening to Jesus. And often Jesus will tell us, have you tried casting your nets on the other side? I've heard people in many churches in my lifetime come up with lots of excuses. Excuses like, we've already tried that, it doesn't work. We've tried, and we haven't got anywhere. Nobody wants to come to church anymore. We tell people about Sunday school. We've tried handing out flyers. We tried to invite people across the street. I've invited my family. I've invited my neighbor. I've tried witnessing at work. Look, our nets are empty. We always have a lot of excuses. But you've heard the old saying, there's only two ways, my way or the highway. Well, that's how it works with God. We can do things God's way, or we can do it our way. But here's the thing, when we do it God's way, God will fill our nets. And when we do things our way, our nets are going to come up empty. Jesus tells us this in John 14. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. See, if we love God, if we truly love God, if we claim to be His children, if we claim to be Christians, we need to be people who seek God's will and keep His commands. And we must be willing to cast our nets in another direction, even if we've already done it. Our life as Christians should be the constant pursuing of going wherever God tells us and casting our nets. And He may speak to us in many different ways. We all want that grand vision, right? Did you ever see that Bruce Almighty? And he kept saying, God, send me a sign, and then boom, boom, and he just kept ignoring them. But see, we have to be open to hear God speak to us in many different ways. God can speak to us through His Scripture directly. God can speak to us through a worship service. God can speak to us through a sermon. God can speak to us through a friend, and God can even speak to us through someone we don't recognize. And the disciple John restates the importance of following God's commands in 1 John 5. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. He goes on to say, and His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The Scripture says that everyone born of God overcomes the world. He says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. God has promised us victory. God has promised us full nets. And if we want this victory, and if we want to hear God's call to cast our nets, then we must be obedient and follow His direction. So if you want to know how you can hear God, number one, read the Bible. If I a lot of times, there's a lot of people that like to argue with me about faith, and it's usually people who don't have faith, and they usually start off by saying, well, I've read the Bible. That's the first case you know they have not read the Bible. Read the Bible. Spend time in God's Word. You don't have to read the Bible in a year, because you're just trying to get through it. Read God's Word. digest it, chew on it, wrestle with it. God wants you to wrestle with His Word. Number two, if you want to hear God pray, pray and pray some more. Now, I've never heard God's audible voice. I'm not saying people don't do that, but I never have. But I can tell you, in my times of prayer, God has spoken to me and has revealed things to me, has enlightened me and impressed things on me in very special ways. Number three, if you want to hear God, worship and serve in the church. Being in community with one another is a good way to hear God. Singing about God, praying about God, honoring God, serving God, you will hear Him speak, I promise you. And if you want to hear God, first of all, love God. And how's the Bible say? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You can't know somebody and hear somebody you don't love. And God says, love each other. You want to hear God? Love Him. Love others. And you'll be surprised how God speaks to you. And number five, expect the Holy Spirit to speak in unexpected ways. Those men did not expect a stranger to show up on the shore and say, cast your nets on the other side. We often don't know how the Holy Spirit will speak to us, but we need to be willing and ready to answer to that. We must remain true to His Word, remain faithful in prayer, worship together, love our God, love our neighbors, and then open our hearts to see and hear God. And when we hear God, we need to be obedient. And if you're not hearing God this morning, no, I'm serious. Isn't that a joy of God? This creation of life? That's a sign of God, people. That is a joy from God. So ask yourself, where do you stand? Because if you read the Bible, you're going to find a lot of stories about people who tried to do it their way and got in a little bit of trouble. If you heard the story of Jonah, God said, go preach someplace else. And he said, no, sir, I'm not doing it. And God said, we'll see about that. The Israelites had a great escape from Egypt. And God said, I got a great place for you to go. And they said, we want to do it our way. And he said, okay, take 40 years to get there. I promise you, things will not work out for you unless you cast your nets where God leads you. The great hoax, the great lie of Satan is making us believe that God serves us. We want Christianity to fit in our box and be used to our advantage. We think God is some kind of genie that we can come and rub the lamp at church and poof, we get all kinds of wishes. Satan's lie is that we can cruise through life on our own terms and not by God's. Why would we do it our way when Jesus has promised us victory? When Jesus has promised us full nets, we have to ask ourselves, are we being obedient as God's church? And are we casting our nets wherever He leads? One of the most powerful things in worship, we've already done one, baptism. It's a sacrament in God's holy church. The other sacrament is the sacrament of Holy Communion. And if you want to hear God, you need to be right with God. And here at this table today, you have an opportunity to experience God, to hear God, and to be filled with God. Jesus Christ promised many things on the night that he was going to be arrested. He promised them peace. He promised them hope. He told them about unity with the Father and unity with one another. Jesus even showed them how to serve with love by washing their feet. And on that night, as they were sharing their last meal together, he told them about a new way and a new covenant. And he took the loaf. He gave thanks to God. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to them. He gave it to all of them, even to the one who was going to betray him, even to those who were going to desert him, even to Peter who would deny him. And he said, I'm giving my body for you. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. And the scripture says that as the supper was ending, he took a cup. And again, he gave thanks to God. And he said, drink from this, all of you. All. Because I'm sacrificing my blood. This is the blood shed for all for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from this, all of you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, as we come here to prepare our hearts, we come to you in a time of repentance, a time of confession. And Lord, today each of us here silently confess our sins to you. Lord, forgive us for not hearing you. Forgive us for not seeking you. Forgive us for not reading your word, for not spending time in prayer, for missing times of worship. Lord, forgive us for not living holy, for disobeying your commands. And Lord, forgive us for the times, not only that we have been disobedient, but times of omission where we have just failed to do anything. And Lord, today we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, cleanse us for where we have been wrong. Lord, put us back on the right path. Gird us with your armor. And lead us on a path that keeps us in a right relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you that through your holy word, we know that you are a good and gracious and loving God. That you have promised that whoever confesses their sins to you, that you will forgive them. And in your holy book of Psalms, you say that when you forgive us, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And so by your authority and by your holy scripture, I pronounce that together, through our confession and repentance, that we have been forgiven. Lord, we ask your holy blessing to be upon these elements today, that they truly become for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, so that together we may become your body, your church, redeemed by your love. People who are willing to be obedient, to share your good news. All of this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us remember that only true love comes through God. You can only find true peace and true happiness through God. What the world offers is a lie. And if you think the blue people or the red people are going to fix things, they're not. Only Jesus Christ has the power to transform. Only Jesus Christ has the ability to fill us, to heal us, to renew us. And it is only when we are obedient to Jesus that he will give us the blessing of fullness. We want to see this church continue to grow. We want to continue to bring in the harvest. We need to be obedient and be willing to cast wherever God directs us to. Now, whether you've heard my message or not, we have been blessed with this baptism today. We've been blessed by our fellowship. Let us leave here today knowing that we serve a great and wonderful God who has given his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And let us go be his obedient children in this world, sharing the good news of his love and the salvation and the promise of eternal life. Let us go forth from here in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.